to the weekly hotspot, where your hosts, Mistress Delia and me, Ms. Olivia, talk about sex, kink, fetish, BDSM. Oh, wow. We talk about all sorts of naughty and interesting topics. One of the most fascinating and perhaps misunderstood kinks is erotic humiliation. Like many things with BDSM, it's counterintuitive, where pain is pleasure. Right, Delia?
Oh, absolutely. And I know I've said this before. My psychology background has kind of taught me different things. And that very important point that pain is pleasure has always fascinated me. And one of the things about that is that humiliation is perceived by the brain as physical pain. It's in the same area.
Of course.
The fucking best we plan.
So, just for our listeners, these are Delia's dogs. She has dogs.
It's interesting because it's not just perceived as physical pain. It's actually in the same region of the brain. So it's processed in that same space. And humiliation is such a personal thing. So what's hot for one person, a word, a phrase, maybe a complete turn off for another. And there are just so many types of erotic humiliation, right? Body, mind, etc. So, yeah. I like to be really clear when I'm doing humiliation, finding those triggers, good, bad, indifferent, talk a little bit, find out the hot buttons, and let it be a completely personalized session, counterintuitive as it may be.
So if you ever had someone who calls you up who's new to you, so you don't know the caller, and they say, humiliate me.
Oh, yeah.
I know you have. We all have. What do you do?
Yes. That, I will tell you, is one of the more frustrating things because of everything that we've just talked about, that it is such a personal kind of thing. So I do like to ask, okay, so you want to be humiliated. Humiliation, and I'm clear, I say humiliation is really something personal. So tell me about what humiliates you. And if for some reason that person decides to say, oh, everything does, mistress, then it may be no holds barred. Or I just come back and say, well, what's the worst thing that's been said to you? Or what has a woman said to you before that has made you really blush? And generally that will give me kind of a little hint into what the actual type of humiliation he's looking for. So yeah, it can be frustrating, but I make sure to make it humiliating.
There's good humiliation and there's bad humiliation. I've also had people that are like, oh, just do anything, humiliate me. With those people, I think that they're watching one particular type of porn, perhaps, and they think small penis humiliation or cuckold humiliation is the only type of humiliation there is. They don't understand that it can be something really unusual, but that hits that trigger that you mentioned. When I get somebody like that, I, like you, will try and use my mistress mind reading techniques to try and figure out at least a general area. But sometimes that doesn't always work. When we talk to someone about what they're looking for, humiliation is one of those categories that the more specific the caller can be, the better the scene will be. For example, you and I just recently did a really awesome session, a two-mistress session. It was a highly personalized scene with lots of intricate moving parts. The humiliation slut wrote us this afterwards: being put into unfair predicaments and being sexually tormented. It is so much fun. I'm glad you also enjoy our calls. Being dominated is more than just being tied to a bed and getting flogged. I like to have a storyline to go with it. And you both add to the storyline and make me feel as if I am really in the predicament of public humiliation, CFNM, SPH, chastity, being cuckolded. And I really love not knowing what's going to happen next in the story. The mindfuck is so awesome. That brings us to different types of humiliation because he lists a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorite ways to humiliate someone?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, everything that he wrote in his fucking fantastic recap of what we did. You know, the CFNM, always. Small penis humiliation. Oh, absolutely. Chastity. Cuckolding. And, you know, even for me, things with food like splashing and different kinds, safe kinds of public humiliation.
You know what? Let's just pause for a second and talk about public humiliation. Okay. Because I don't want people to get the wrong idea about this. When he said public humiliation, we weren't actually sending him out in public for actual public humiliation. It was a fantasy scene. He was in his house. He was on the phone. He was on the phone with us. So we were weaving a story that he was also participating in. When someone wants public humiliation, I really drill down and ask them all kinds of questions. Are you really going to want to go out in public? What do you mean? Give me an example. And somebody who wants to go outside and flash unsuspecting people, go to a Victoria's Secret and, you know, be sissy humiliated by the Victoria's Secret sales lady. My answer to all of that is no. Hard no.
I agree with you. For me, I have the thought that I am not going to involve anyone else in their vanilla life, their vanilla job. They're just doing their own thing. I'm not going to thrust someone else's kink upon them. So for me, public humiliation can embarrass someone else. Like we said, there's humiliation that's not sexy, so I'm not willing to do that. And also, with the legal things the way that they are, you can wind up on a registry somewhere for doing something sexual in public. It's not worth it. So that's a hard no for me too.
Absolutely. Have your limits changed in recent years? You and I have both been doing this for a long time. Have your limits gotten tighter?
That's a really good question. I would say yes and no. And let me give an example on that. Tighter, just with how tightly, you know, people are cracking down on, say, like a sex offender type offense, where it doesn't take much nowadays to get that to happen. But also a little looser with, you know, transgender acceptance, all kinds of things like that, where you can go out and be who you want to be in public. And right now, that's more okay than it might have been, say, 5 years ago.
And a lot of transgender girls who are going out, they're actually looking for acceptance. They're not looking for humiliation.
Oh, exactly. They're not looking for kink at that time. No, they're just going out there being themselves. And that's a really important difference. So I wouldn't consider that humiliation.
So speaking of what to consider humiliation, one of the things that absolutely cracks me up is the guy with the big penis who calls for small penis humiliation.
Oh my God, that is hysterical. I mean, talk about counterintuitive. You have a great penis. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to have someone make fun of your penis? I mean, I absolutely do it and I love doing it because I love small penis humiliation, but I'm not sure that I understand that fetish. And if you have it, anyone who's listening, please email Delia. Just let me know how that is kinky because I want to get it better.
You know, I think one of the things that I've found with fetishes is they start generally at a younger age, way younger than the guy who's calling us. And something happens. It can be dressing in, getting changed in the locker room. And they look over and they're like, oh, that guy is so much bigger than I am. And no matter what happens to the person physically later on, they are kind of locked into that combination of fear, shame, being startled, and simultaneously being aroused.
All of those things together are so incredible, aren't they?
They are.
I love it.
You know what one person described?
What?
Humiliation as an adult thrill ride.
Oh.
And he did it. Isn't that perfect? Like when you go up on a roller coaster, you get in the little cart and you're going up and up and it's building anticipation. And then you get to the top and you look down and you go, fuck me.
No.
You.
No.
And all the way down and you're screaming and it's so exciting and you're like, I'm never doing this again. You get off the ride and you're like, oh, I want to do that again right now.
Uh-huh.
It's a roller coaster.
It is.
It's an adult sexual roller coaster.
It is. That's such a great analogy, likening it to that, because it really is from the ups and the downs to the whole thrill of the ride.
You mentioned people should email you. This is one of the reasons why we always give our email out. My email is olivia@enchantrixempire.com. You can reach Delia at delia@enchantrixempire.com. Especially with humiliation, erotic humiliation, send us an email. If you don't want to have a conversation at the beginning of the call, tell us exactly what you're looking for, because I think some people think that humiliation has to be, you're a fucking loser. Your dick is so small. Mm. Loser, loser, asshole, idiot. And it's like yelling. And it's not.
No.
It can be, for sure. But, oh, look at you, baby. You've got such a little pee-pee. Oh, cupcake. No, that's not getting anywhere near my pussy. Mm-mm. Right? It's very sweet. It's sensual. It's erotic. It's almost comforting. And yet it is erotic humiliation.
Exactly. There are so many types of humiliation. And I'll say again that it really just is so very personal. I like to do a lot of what you were just describing, the naughty but sensual humiliation, where it can be very, very quiet. And I can say, think about what I just said. You know that's true, don't you? Now tell me.
Oh, you're killing me. I'm not even a dude. I don't even have a dick to get hard. And I'm getting hard.
Mm-hmm. There's something delicious about that.
Oh, yeah. I've been on calls with you when you have launched into this mindfuck mode that you are, can I just tell you, fucking spectacular. So explain a mindfuck, because that's one of your specialties. And it's probably because of your psychology background, but you're just brilliant at it. Explain to people what a mindfuck is.
Well, thank you. I do love to mindfuck. I am a mindfuck mistress. And I have to be honest, I do actually sometimes say mindfucking is my secret weapon. So what a mindfuck really is getting into someone's head and making a little nest and kind of taking up residence in there. And when you do a mindfuck really, really well, you can make a man question everything he ever thought about himself, including his status in life, his career, even his sexuality. And I have actually played in all three of these areas, And I can tell you, it may sound way out there and far-fetched, and you might be thinking, no, there is no way that you could make me question my own sexuality, my own status, my position in life, my career, my place within my own company. It's all in the art of a good, real mindfuck.
Have you ever had a caller who calls up and says, I'm curious about a mindfuck. What is it? How do we do it? What happens in a mindfuck? What do you tell them?
One of the things that's kind of common with people who are curious about mindfucks is that they're maybe looking for, you know, a little subtle persuasion, a little conditioning. Humiliation can be a real trigger for motivating people to do things. And I'll give an example of maybe sucking cock. So I speak with someone who is very into getting really deep, deep, deep into discussions, into his own head about sucking cock. And what we have kind of come down to, one of the great talking points that we have, and you and I have talked about this in previous hotspots, because he keeps creating these memories, because these fantasies his mind is perceiving as memories. He never actually has to suck a cock. He's already earned the name cocksucker because of everything that we have talked about, everything that we've done over months and months. He doesn't have to ever physically suck a cock. He already is a cocksucker, according to his mind. And he had me say that twice. And he kind of shuddered and was like, oh my God, I think you just broke my brain. Because if what you're saying is true, then you're right. I really am a cocksucker. It was awesome.
I've done that same thing with cum eaters. Only it's not just fantasy. I say, go ahead and come into the palm of your hand. Now just bring it up and just stick the tip of your tongue right in it. Don't lick it up, just the tip. And so a lot of guys who are like, I can't get past it. I'm not going to eat cum. It's hot. But once I come, I lose the desire. I can't do it. And I'll say, just stick just the tip of your tongue in. And then they'll do that. And I'll say, look at that. You're a cum eater now. Now it's just a matter of amounts. And he's like, oh. I love that comment. You broke my brain. Yeah.
I love mind fucking. I love breaking brains. I love living in heads. I do. I do.
We're going to talk about this in future hotspots. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've noticed about you and me and many of the women here at LDW Group is we are all ex-business people, Fortune 500 people. We are independent business women. We are smart. We are educated, well-traveled, well-read. I think that our ability to draw on all of these areas creates a situation where mindfuck is possible because we can pull from any aspect of his life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you like music? Oh, you like baseball? Oh, what about traveling? And then we weave it in so that spider web of the mindfuck, you talk about building a nest in his brain, that spider web just kind of goes out and begins to touch all of these other aspects of his life. So it's really a full brain, full body experience, right?
It really, really, really is. And one of my favorite poems, come into my web, said the spider to the fly. Look it up, read it, and think of it from a mistress's point of view. And that is the perfect poem that represents a mind fuck and even humiliation.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
You know, my favorite poem for erotic humiliation, actually in BDSM, since we're doing poetry. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But I think I've seen enough of hate to say that ice is nice and would suffice.
Very good. I love that poem.
Isn't that perfect?
It is.
Fire and ice. That's kind of like a mind fuck.
It is.
Or erotic humiliation,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
I'm going to use the cocksucker guy as an example. I've noticed that sometimes people start out and they circle around the trigger that makes them come. And our job as the mistress or the one who's guiding them is to pick up on what that circle is and then when to throw in the trigger. So it helps to know the triggers or know the caller well enough to know the trigger. And a huge trigger for a lot of people are epithets.
Yeah.
I'm thinking faggot. Especially. So you start off with someone who's talking about, I'm heterosexual, I'm straight, but I'm caught curious. Maybe I think about it sometimes. And then the more aroused he gets, the more willing he's able to go and experience until you throw the F-bomb at him. And I'm not talking about calling him a fucker, because we'll do that at the start right. of the call. Hey, fucker, how are you? <ya?" laughs> I'm talking about the faggot bomb, something that I would never say to any of my friends in the LGBTQ community, ever.
Right.
But for humiliation, it's perfect. And it's exactly the same thing as flogging someone. I would never walk up to a vanilla friend and say, bend over, I'm going to spank your ass. Or straighten up, grab the wall. I'm going to flog you. So I would never say faggot to someone who is gay.
Exactly.
Never. Do you use those kinds of words, the N word, the F word? Do you use those words on calls? And how has that changed as you've gotten more skilled and comfortable with erotic humiliation?
That is a really, really great question. And again, I want to preface this by saying racial slurs are something that I would never say in my regular day-to-day life. It's just not who I am. Luckily, though, I can separate out a hurtful racial slur that someone might yell out a window at someone while driving down the street. Versus someone calling me specifically for racial humiliation, let's say that, and is asking to be called the N-word or any variation thereof, just the dirtiest, filthiest words that you could ever think of. And I will tell you, at first, when I first started here at LDW Group, I didn't like it at all. And I actually would sometimes say, no, you don't want to speak to me. You want to go to another mistress, because I would never say that to someone. And then as I learned more about that kink, I learned more about, you know, the racial slurs, the F-bomb kinds of slurs, and I got more into humiliation. I got it. I was able to wrap my head, I want to say, around the fetish and understand why. And when I got it and went, oh, okay, I was able to say anything, really anything.
Mm.
And it was good. Mm-hmm. And it had some, there were some really intense fucking awesome calls. But once I got off the phone, I'm able to put that in a box and just put it away. And I don't ever use that anywhere else in my life.
I think a lot of people, that's something that people don't really understand about BDSM or sadomasochism, of which erotic humiliation is the mental version of physical sadomasochism. So we are the sadist. The person who calls us is the masochist. As it becomes more and more intense, just like spanking intensifies, flogging intensifies, cock and ball torment intensifies. Just as all of that stuff gets more and more intense, the same thing happens with erotic humiliation. Like you, at first, I was like, no fucking way. I'm not going to do that. Then, like you, I began to understand the psychology, and then the words become just like toys in our toy bag. So I liken calling someone a faggot or using the N-word or like really going out there with racial and class epithets and stuff as the verbal Wartenberg wheel. It's got all of these spikes on it, and you're just rolling that motherfucker over his back and his butt and his nipples, and he's going, ow, 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 ow. But it's physical, just like the physical toys in her toy bag, right? Yeah.
That was an awesome, awesome, awesome way to just liken it to an actual sex toy, because it is. But you know what's interesting? Neither one of us will say a racial slur on this podcast. We just don't, because this is not a session, right?
I know, right. That's interesting. So why did I use the word faggot?
I don't know.
You know, that's even in sessions using the N-word, still kind of, I tend not to use it, but I won't stop the guy that is using it.
I'm exactly the same way. I love it when men say those words. I can encourage him to say those words and repeat it, because I think they're just so powerful. They're like such charged and powerful words that a sub can get really deep even saying them about himself. But you're right. I still find it hard to use those terms.
I think this shows something that we have often said about other people. BDSM, kink, and fetishes inspire self-reflection and personal growth.
Right.
So for example, you and I are talking about phone sex sessions, right? And I'm sitting here wondering, wow, why don't I say the N-word? So I'm going to go back and think about that. As we go in and explore our own dark side, things that we're nervous about, uncomfortable with, I find that my hard limits have become more solidified. And the places that I'm willing and able to explore in a healthy kind of way have expanded. The playground has gotten a little bit bigger.
Yep. I like how you say that. And you know, this made me a little bit quiet. This made me feel a little, I don't know, just a certain kind of way, like, I think it would be good to think about this and think about why I do and say some of the things that I do and say. Have I become desensitized to certain words that maybe I need to really look at and reflect on again, you know?
Or are certain words just not, like there's certain sexual things that are not okay with me and I won't discuss.
Right.
Anyone under age, anyone who is not able to give consent, like, you know, I don't give a flying fuck how much somebody else is aroused. I'm like, no hard no. I don't think either of us have become desensitized. I think if anything else, I just haven't thought why I am willing to say faggot in the podcast, but not the N-word. We're going to have to come back and revisit this. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you, how do you get a really, really shy guy to open up and talk about his humiliation triggers, especially if he may not even know what they are?
That's a really, really good question. The first thing that I would ask someone who's calling up and just is really shy, okay, so what is wrong with you? And sometimes that's enough to have them rattle off, well, I weigh too much. I don't work out. I have a small penis. I'm a minute man. I compulsively masturbate. You know, it just sort of flows out at that point. But there are some who's like, well, I don't know. Okay, so what have other mistresses said to you? When you think about why you're calling me, what's one area that you can talk about with me that you're a little bit embarrassed about?
What kind of porn do you watch? What kind of porn turns you on?
And anything that he talks about, you know, what he reads, what he watches, what he thinks about, that'll cue me in to what his particular fetish is.
And then our mistress mind meld begins to take place, and we meld and walk inside and build nests and spider webs and roller coaster rides in your brain, baby.
Oh, fuck yes.
Plus, we have awesome laughs. We really do. Yeah. To our weekly hotspot fans, do you have a question, comment, curious about anything? Send us an email. You can reach me, Olivia, at EnchantrixEmpire.com or Delia at EnchantrixEmpire.com.
And wonderful listeners, you can listen to all the weekly hotspot episodes on our blog, theweeklyhotspot.com. Each episode can be heard on Cock Radio on Spreaker at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday. Now, next week, you might actually be surprised by this topic. You will hear that sex and phone sex isn't always about sex. And if that's not a mind fuck, what? I don't know what is, but we will explain. Oh, thank you all for listening today. And remember, stay sexy and stay hot.